The letter of Paul to Ephesians may very well be my favorite book in the entire Bible. We've just finished up a seven-month series in the book of Galatians, and we are going to continue on in Ephesians chapter 1. If I were to liken the Old Testament to an incredible saga of the prophesied chosen one and the journey of that coming one, we think of these great movies of The Lord of the Rings and Star Wars or whatever your favorite jam is. To me, the book of Ephesians is like, it's the extras on disc two. It's like a punch in your spiritual gut. Every phrase is just like, it's eating at the all-you-can-eat buffet of filet mignon. I expect that we will be in Ephesians, even though it's a shorter book by words than Galatians. I believe we'll be here for more than a year. Dr. Lloyd Jones preached 232 sermons on 155 verses of Ephesians. That's right, 1.5 sermons per verse. So I just want to set your expectations right, so that you're not surprised if this goes a little longer. If you'd rather buy his 3,000-page commentary, it's in 8 volumes. You can make 4 easy payments of $26.81. And that is true. I checked the price on Saturday. Father, give us ears to hear. Open your word to us. Lord, as we start this great epistle, speak through me, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint these words. Help us to receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anyone want to give us a one phrase, one word summary of what the epistle of Ephesians means in their own words? Redemption? Anyone else? I'll give you mine. It's filet mignon.
All right.
This is why I continually read the verses week after week, even though I know deep down inside I'm well aware that we're not going to get to an entire chapter in any one given Sunday. It's because, unfortunately, there are many that this is the only time they get the Word of God in their souls in any given week. So I even half considered this week of just reading through the entire epistle of Ephesians, just so you know where it's going and where we are headed. But I figure if we're actually here for a month, it's going to take me at least 3 or 4 weeks to get through the verse 14. So we'll just read through that this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles, going to read in the New American Standard, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we, who were the first hope to first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. We'll stop there. It almost reads as the Amplified Translation without being the Amplified Translation. It's just packed with meat and substance. But nonetheless, we will start in verse 1. Paul. Who is Paul? Paul. He was a highly distinguished Pharisee who would have been in charge with interpreting the Torah for the Jews in the temple. He would go on to arrest, beat, and try to dissuade Jesus' followers from their beliefs. And later he became a leader among this movement who he tried to quash. He became a Christian, that is, on the way to beat some Christians and to carry those back from Damascus to Jerusalem. The Lord visited him. He became, from that point forward, known as Paul. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes to these very people that he was once persecuting. Paul, an apostle. What's an apostle? Yeah, we're going real fast, aren't we? We're in the third word. Apostle really has two meanings, and I'll give you both before we can really know the meaning here. Apostle, in general, means delegate, ambassador, messenger, or one sent forth with orders. So an apostle of Christ, Jesus, is one that is sent forth with a message or with orders. And so Paul would often introduce himself in this manner so that the audience that he was writing to would know that God had ordained him to minister to them. He was speaking in a place of authority, saying, God has actually given me this message I'm about to impart to you. It was not just Paul's wish to speak to this people group in Ephesus. It was actually in direct obedience to God. Now, an apostle can also refer to a position of authority within the church. We see that the 11 remaining disciples after Jesus' ascension and when he got replaced, these men were often referred to as the apostles of Christ. And later there were some others added, Paul, Timothy. We will look more closely at that particular meaning and the role of an apostle in chapter 4 of Ephesians verse 11, so sometime next year. We all laugh because we know deep down inside that that's true. So Paul, a sent one of Jesus, according to God, writes to the believers in Ephesus. That's saying to the saints that are in Ephesus. Then he opens with a greeting. Verse 2, grace and peace. Grace to you and peace. Grace and peace. This is the distinguishing mark or the epitome of Pauline writing. We have 13 known books that we have from the Apostle Paul. And he writes each and every time. Romans chapter 1, verse 7, grace and peace. 1 Corinthians 1, 3, grace and peace. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 2, grace and peace. Galatians 1, 3, grace and peace. Ephesians 1, 2, grace and peace. You get the point. Colossians. Every single book he wrote, grace and peace. So what? Why does this even matter? Well, sometimes when we read words, we hear words frequently, we don't often digest the significance. Paul's use of grace and peace echoes elements to Aaron's benediction originally spoken over Israel. May Yahweh be gracious to you and give you peace. Secondly, Paul was a master of writing and understanding the Hebrew language, and he wrote these epistles in Greek, but raised up in the temple and certainly understanding the Torah and the law, he has this sort of mixed company of Hebrews, and he's writing here to the Gentiles, and he's applying these beautiful Jewish and Hebrew meanings and significant things, and he laces them with this New Testament principle. So there's this layered meaning, and he's injecting this sort of theological understanding when he says grace and peace, it's more than just a Hebrew greeting. he's also greeting and reaching out to the Gentiles. Grace, as we know it, a simple definition might be unmerited favor. It's the unmerited favor of God. It brings forth blessings and joy and pleasure and salvation. Grace, one might say, is the work of God for man that encompasses everything we receive from God. Everything you get from God is a work of God's grace. And so Paul starts out his writings and he says, I want you to know that all of the beautiful things that you have in God the Father, they come from his grace. See, peace was a more typical Jewish greeting. Shalom. But for the Christian, it also carried a much deeper meaning, and he writes it here in Greek, it's eirene. It means a state of untroubled tranquility, a state of harmony and well-being. But we also add to that that after Christ's resurrection, he became our peace, and he broke down that barrier that existed between the Jew and the non-Jew. So Paul can write to the audience of both Hebrew and Gentile because Christ is our peace. We see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Again, we'll get to that in a future date. He broke down that separation between us and God. Ultimately, Jesus is our peace. Romans 5, 1. So where do these two meaningful blessings come from? Well, God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Two distinct parts of the one all-powerful God. God being triune, having these different elements, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And Paul's saying that I want you to know the blessings are all a work of him together. With that realization, Paul goes on to this little doxology that's sort of like a praise break for those that grew up in that kind of church. He says, praise God from whom all blessings flow, sort of, in his own words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how many problems would disappear in our churches if we started with our eyes on the Father. What if we worshiped Father God for all that he's worth? How many disputes would be avoided in our marriages if we would behold our Savior and consider how much he loved us, that while we were sinners, he took the beating we deserved on his very back. If we would stop and reflect about all that God has done, how many problems would there be? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. O church, if we would simply enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, if we would stop and give thanks and to praise his holy name, I wonder if we might be divided as a church as we really are. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, it's appalling that the most segregated hour of Christian America is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. He was wrong about one thing. Our service starts at 10 a.m. Wake up, Christian. And I'm not talking about the modern lingo of woke. I'm referring to rising from the dead, Ephesians 5, 14. Arise, O sleeper! Pursue the Lord, pursue his face, pursue his presence. Oh, I'm certain that so many come to church for the wrong reasons. To put a check mark on a box because someone expected them to, for free coffee, free donuts, or because the children's ministry is lit. Why are you here? Are you here to worship the all-worthy, all-powerful, all-sufficient one? Or are you here for your own reasons? See, if the church would stop making Sunday service about our needs, our expectations, oh, how we would come together. The wall of separation would be torn down as we get our eyes on Christ. How many problems would disappear? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. You know, Sunday isn't the only day of the week that you can worship either. Now, it's a great way to start your Sunday morning. I'm going to give you a secret. It's a great way to start your Monday, too. Your Tuesday? Maybe he says Wednesday. Do I hear a Thursday? Friday. Hey, but it is that Saturday. Do I hear Saturday? Kathy says the whole week you can start your day with worship. You know what? You can end it, too. What if we just sandwiched every moment with the doxology? Praise God from whom all blessings. Blessed be the Father, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we just, before we even get out of bed, thank you, Lord. Thank you, I'm alive. Thank you for what you have for me today. Thank you for the air I breathe. Thank you for the food on my table. Thank you for the food in my refrigerator that I don't even know how to put together and make a meal out of. Some people don't even have that. Thank you, Lord, for peanut butter and bread. What if we spend some time with the Father? What if we kept our eyes on the Father? Perhaps the divorce rate would plummet. You think if we kept our eyes on the Father that we would sin less? Answer me this. How many problems in society would go away if every citizen began to worship the Father each and every day? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What if every school morning began with worship and praise? What if every board meeting began with worship and praise? Oh, well, that'll never happen, Pastor. Why not? Why not you start it? They might not know they're worshiping, but what if you get into their presence and you start worshiping God in that boardroom? What are you doing, Curtis? Oh, don't mind me. I just got to take a few minutes here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ready for this one? Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Glory. You got that in your Bible or is mine misprinted? Is that worth a shout? Amen. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Blessed who? Personalize it. He's blessed me. He's blessed Eric. He's blessed Linda. Deb, he's blessed you. He has blessed me with every spiritual blessing. Some of you need to bask in that a little while. Some of you need to get worship on this morning. He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. What did God bless you with? Oh, well, we're going to get over that in the next few years. But in Ephesians, I just kind of went through, as I read it in preparation this week, I went through Ephesians and just jotted down a few of the spiritual blessings that I see. Chapter 1, he chose you, verse 4. He makes you holy, verse 4. He makes you blameless. He predestined you according to his kind will. He adopted you. He gives you his grace. Guess what? He also redeemed you. He forgives your trespasses. He lavished you with grace. He revealed his will to you. He gives you an inheritance. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He gives you wisdom. He gives you revelation of the knowledge of him. Chapter 2, guess what? He loves you. He makes you alive with Christ. He saved you. He raises you up. He seats you in heavenly places. He created you for good works. He broke down the dividing wall. He abolished the law. He established peace for you. He reconciled you. He gives you access to the Father. He dwells in you. Chapter 3, he grants you the riches of his glory. He strengthens you with his power. He grounds you in his love. He fills you up to the fullness of God. He gives you his gifts. He renews the spirit of your mind. He gives you a new self. He makes you in the likeness of him. Chapter 5, he gave himself up for you. He makes you to walk in his light. He shines on you. Chapter 6 says that he pays us back according to our deeds. He gives you his armor. He gives you his truth and his righteousness. He gives you his gospel of peace. He gives you his faith. He gives you his salvation. He gives you his very word of God. And guess what? He listens to your prayers at all times. Every spiritual blessing is yours. Why? Because he said so. How many of you know how good a God we serve? You need a reason to praise. Why not do it in response to all that for starters? And don't wait on my behalf because I'm preaching. Oh, well, somebody's preaching. We should be respectful. No. Get up in your seat and praise if you got to praise. Isn't he worthy? Oh, blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, giving thanks always for the things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. Praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I'm sorry, is Pastor getting a little crazy this morning? Wait a second, don't you have the very same reasons to worship that I do? Oh, and don't tell me that you're shy. Imagine yourself now in the presence of the mighty God. Why aren't you worshiping me, little one? Oh, I'm just shy, my king. I don't want to embarrass myself. Church, my crazy might be overflowing a little bit this morning. I had some race and fuel. Woo! But it's for good reason. Do you know Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on a donkey? The arrogant, mistaken Pharisees, they tried to rebuke Jesus. They said, rebuke the crowd, silence them. What did Jesus say? I tell you, if they become silent, the rocks are going to start crying out. Some of you remember pet rocks. Well, guess what? I ain't letting your pet rock out praise me. You know, there's a lot of people that choose not to praise God, but there's a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will confess the praises of God, so you may as well get your practice on now. Church, if we would start every day with prayer, praise, thanksgiving, if we would bless his holy name, verse 4 says that he chose us. Amplified says, selected us for himself as his own. He picked you out. He was scrolling through the pages of the online adoption ads and he said, I want that one. I want that one. And I want that one. I'll take them all. He chose me. He chose you. Why? Simply because he loved you. He liked the way you looked. He liked what was in your heart. Why? He made you that way, fearfully and wonderfully. You know, he also knew that you would choose him. And it was that foreknowledge of every decision that you would make, every thought that you would have, every action that you would make. Before he even created the earth, before he created Adam and Eve and the animals and all that, he said, I want Linda. I want Patty. I want Pierce. I've chosen them. I know they're going to choose me. And guess what? He wrote your names in his Lamb's Book of Life. And he chose that you would be holy and blameless. Holy and blameless. Now, this is only possible because of the blood of Jesus. He washes you as white as snow. So that while we may still sin from time to time, when we stand before him, he sees you as perfect. God the Father looks at you and says, that's my perfect one that I chose. That's called justification. See, you stand positionally perfect before him, even though you mess up. When he looks at you through the lens of Jesus Christ and the cross, he sees you as holy and blameless. holy and blameless, set apart and consecrated. He made you morally blameless. In Greek, it's the same holy as pertains to God. It's the same word. He's saying, in the same way that you picture the holiness and the perfections of God, he is given to you. You get to abide and share in his perfection. Get this in your downtrodden souls. Let this wash over your dejected spirit. God washed you in the blood of Jesus and sees you in the same purity and perfection as he sees himself. He lets you participate in his set-apart status. He sees you as unblameable, unaccusable, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, without fault. What a joy that is to walk before him without any condemnation. Now, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. To have no condemnation means that you are found innocent of any accusation. There's no guilty verdict hanging over your body, over your mind. That is the grace of God. Believers in Jesus Christ will not face the condemnation of God. Paul says in Romans 8:34, "Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will bring a charge against you? No one, that's who, because God sees you as holy and blameless. Why? Because he chose you." In other words, the verdict of the last judgment given on AD 33 was not guilty. There is no condemnation. I said this a few months ago. I'll say it again. God doesn't take you to the woodshed, the devil does. Stop following him there. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. He sees you as holy and blameless. There's no punishment. You may punish yourselves. You may be frustrated. You may cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am." But God doesn't say that. He doesn't punish you. He sees you as holy and blameless in Christ Jesus. Walk in that holiness. Listen, oh beloved, he chose you to be holy and blameless. He chose you before all of your sins. Everything that you think is keeping you from the presence of God, God says, "I want that one, no matter what he does. I want that one, no matter what they do." He chose you to be holy and blameless. God wants us all to see ourselves the way that he sees us. He wants us to walk the freedom of his grace and his love. Try and stop there this morning. As Curtis comes up, Deb comes up, we're going to go into a time of communion. Church, I want you to know how much this book means to me. And I pray that you get as excited about it as I do. I know I'm a little ramped up this morning. I had my spiritual Wheaties. God's got a message for us this morning. If we would begin to see ourselves the way that he does, we're going to find as we study these coming chapters that he wants us to walk in power and strength of his might to do his good works which he created for us, that his name might be magnified, that those in the world might come to a knowledge of him. He wants to prepare you to fight against the enemy. But I think we ought to learn one thing this morning. It's if we would take time to worship our Savior for all that he's worth.